Now we will go to take a look at the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, shortened as ASEAN, but normally called ASEAN. It has been in use for so long that it has become a proper name in itself. Population almost 600 million, so it is a bit less than half of China. It is a big area, important area. It will merit a lecture series of its own, but I will here give only one. Its GDP growth had been 4.4 in 2008 and 1.5 in 2009, the last figures that I was able to get, meaning that its growth has been clearly slower than that of China. Many ASEAN countries, especially older ASEAN countries, used to grow fast in the 1970s, 1980s, early 1990s. After that, its growth tended to go down. China is a problem for ASEAN, many ASEAN countries, especially the middle-level, middle-income ASEAN countries. Especially Thailand, Malaysia, and Philippines are strongly strongly influenced by Chinese economic growth. The so-called middle income trap means that to be able to continue the rise in the welfare or the society, you would need to help the salaries of people grow up so that you can get more taxes, which you can invest on infrastructure, roads, and education, and more factories, and so on. And it has been so that investment flows have favored China. In the 1970s, 80s, early 1990s, lots of investment went to ASEAN countries. But then China came along, and because it is big, and such a big market, it is many foreign companies decided to invest in China. And once you are there, companies who are related to you also need to invest in China. And still in the 1990s, there was lots of component trade among various countries. You could make one thing in Malaysia, another thing in Thailand, a third thing in China. And especially in the beginning, China was the place where you put things together. But energy prices have risen so much, especially during the past 10 years, that it's more often economically sensible to make everything near. So all these kind of logistical matters have caused it that China has diverted the investment flows from abroad quite much away from ASEAN. Not completely, but the ASEAN's growth is quite slow. There are countries which are clearly on a higher technological level than China, especially Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan. And as total economies, they have been benefiting greatly from Chinese economic growth, because China has needed lots of high-level components and machinery for its own economic growth. So Japanese, South Korean, and Taiwanese companies have been doing quite well. Also many European and American companies. But in terms of whole societies, all people cannot be placed in the high technology industries. Societies have had problems in Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and also here in Europe and North America because of this. As Taromaru Hiroshi presented in his own lecture. And the situation facing us all over the world now is that because the whole world is one economic unit, because so it is one global marketplace, we will be affected also here in Finland by Chinese and Indian and perhaps a bit later also African wage levels, which will tend to drag our wage levels downwards. And there's no way to escape this, as long as the world is one economic unit. And the nearer countries like China, 1,300,000,000 people, comes to us, the more stronger we will feel it. And as we just, in the previous lecture, calculated 2030, when China will be in European Union 1990 levels, if everything goes okay, the pressure will be even stronger than it is nowadays. So you who are young people nowadays will feel this for the whole of your life. Simply try to adjust to the situation. Remembering that after China, there's India coming along and many other countries. The humankind is becoming more wealthy, more healthy, living longer, perhaps better lives than before. But those countries that are rich will feel it in their daily lives in the future. In China, real wages have been able to rise about 12% annually since the mid-1990s. Its productivity has been able to rise from 20 to 20%, depending on the industry, during the same period. This is because there has been so much money in China to invest in infrastructure and to rapidly upgrade the technological capacity of Chinese industries. Of course, there has been mishaps. Thousands of bridges have been built, and some of them have collapsed because poor quality. But all in all, Chinese infrastructure has been becoming much better. The ASEAN countries have been doing the same, but with much lower levels of foreign direct investment and their own capital. And because of this, since 2000, real wages have been almost stagnant, especially in Thailand, Malaysia and Philippines, which are now the middle income level countries. So there are problems. But if China passes them and Chinese wage levels become higher than in these countries, then they can become part of the pool. Other ASEAN countries, let's say especially Laos, and Cambodia, quite soon Myanmar also, because they are very poor, will be helped by the fact that Chinese salaries are rising, Vietnam also. And much of these industries that look for cheap labor will move to these countries. ASEAN is an old organization. It has been able to stay and go along from decade to decade. It is sometimes compared with the European Union. Its population is not so different. There are now a bit over 500 million in the European Union. But ASEAN's average GDP is much lower than that of the European Union. It's even lower than that of Japan. And the same can be seen also in terms of its GDP per capita. And China, of course, is also much bigger than ASEAN. And already in GDP per capita, China is already at a higher level than ASEAN. 20 years ago, it was much on a much lower level on average. And ASEAN itself is very diverse. Singapore is one of the richest countries on Earth. In per capita basis, it is richer than Finland, although it is quite small, only 4.8 million people, but almost the same as Finland. Brunei, an oil and gas exporting small Muslim sultanate, is also rich. Then the others, Malaysia, Thailand, the Philippines, Indonesia also, they are quite near. In the same group are clearly poorer. Then Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Myanmar come as the four poorest countries. And if you compare per capita incomes in Myanmar and also Singapore, the difference is quite staggering. This is one reason why ASEAN cannot be a close-knit community like the European Union. It has to be much looser, because the countries are so different. Where ASEAN is so important is that thus far, and probably also in the near future, it has been the nucleus of regional organization. The Northeast Asian countries, China, Korea and Japan, have had so tense relations with each other that they have not been able to create a common organization of their own thus far. If you add India, it's still at the other end. Very different place. ASEAN has had an organization, and it has been easy to add other countries to this. So ASEAN member states have been here drawn with the blue one, and ASEAN candidates, Timor-Leste here, and Papua New Guinea here, try to get in. Then we have so-called ASEAN plus three. The three means China, Korea, and Japan. Because they have not had an organization of their own, they have been able to meet when ASEAN has had its own meetings. They simply have been added as different countries. And then the whole group has been able to talk with each other. Nowadays, a few years ago, China, Korea and Japan established a prime minister level discussion group among themselves. They have not been meeting every year, but fairly often anyway. And there is also discussion over free trade area between China, Korea and Japan. We don't know what will happen with this. Then we have East Asian Summit, where we have ASEAN, these three, India, Australia, New Zealand, and we have also United States and Russia. They should also be included. We have an even bigger organization, ASEAN Regional Forum, which is not an economic forum like these others are. Well, the East Asian Summit is more political one. ASEAN Regional Forum is about security. It's a place where these countries discuss security issues, international conflict, tensions and what to do with them. It is even a bigger organization. Also Canada, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and European Union is also a member here. All these center in ASEAN. It has been the only possible hub for thus far. So it is important in terms of organizing this area. ASEAN is also very active, has been very active in creating free trade areas. There is a so-called ASEAN Free Trade Area, AFTA. It has been in existence since 1992. But it is not very effective. And you can compare it with European Union. Because European Union is the trading area where all countries are basically similar and have to adjust into similar surroundings. This ASEAN Free Trade Area is a collection of bilateral treaties with Thailand, with Philippines, Vietnam, with Singapore, and so on. This means that also the customs duties may go down. Lots of non-tariff barriers are still in place. And this also means that you have different price levels depending on where the good comes from. A t-shirt from Thailand, a t-shirt from the Philippines, a t-shirt from Indonesia can have different price in Singapore if the agreement is different. And administering this kind of system is not very cost effective. And this does not force countries to reform themselves very fast. Then we have ASEAN-Japan Free Trade Area since 2008. The same system, and it is in place only marginally. There's a long period of 10 years, perhaps even longer, when different sectors should come effective within that. ASEAN, Australia, New Zealand Free Trade Area established in 2010, the same thing. ASEAN, China Free Trade Area. ASEAN India Free Trade Area, ASEAN Korea Free Trade Area, all similar systems. So there's a lots of things, lots of different price levels within ASEAN. Then the t-shirt from India, if it comes from Thailand, via Thailand, and then to Indonesia or wherever, you always have different prices. So this is bureaucratically very complicated system. But ASEAN wants to be an organizational center, and it is. Last November, about a month ago, there was a meeting of ASEAN plus three, and they launched a new idea, so-called Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, which would include ASEAN plus China, South Korea, and Japan. Again, a kind of idea about a new free trade area with countries that there already was before agreements, but a new one. This may be more politics than economics, actually, because there has been a so-called Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiation going on since 2010. It was started in discussions between some ASEAN countries and some Latin American countries, but then United States came along and sort of hijacked the idea. And United States has been pushing this forward as its own free trade area system, which would be more ambitious than what ASEAN as a whole has been doing thus far. It has not yet been established, but there has been discussions with Australia, Brunei, Darussalam, Chile, Canada, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, Vietnam, and the United States. If you take a look at the map, what would this mean? It would mean Northern America, these two Latin American countries bordering the Pacific Ocean, and here, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, Brunei, Singapore, Vietnam. Japan and South Korea have been invited by the USA to participate. please come along. Thus far, they have not done that. But this is the conspicuous idea. The main idea here is that China has not been invited. So this is a kind of outside China system, which has clear political overtones also. Now, what ASEAN now suggested, this regional comprehensive economic partnership, would take China along, but leave United States out, and also Canada out, and Latin America out, and Australia and New Zealand also out. So that is political action, but many ASEAN countries, Vietnam, Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei, would be are members in both of them. So this is, again, not exclusive. But a way of keeping China happy, perhaps also South Korea and Japan happy, and keeping ASEAN, again, in the center of action. So this is politics. ASEAN is going along. It has been an organization, a loose but functioning organization since 1967. It goes on. It is in difficulties, especially with China. And we will go soon to see other kinds of difficulties. But it continues organizing things in this area because there's no other single organizer here.